Blog Talk Radio.
Inflatable fool, full of dad's hot air. Well, I was 3 years old, splashing everywhere. So began my love affair with water.
All right, thanks, Fred Paisley. Welcome. I'm Mr. Wayne, your sustainability host on Thursday, September 15th, 2016, is Greenpeace Day. Woohoo! And also a big campaign on social media about imagine a day without water. Hashtag value water. You can find that conversation happening mainly on Twitter, but also on Instagram, Facebook, probably also on Pinterest, I don't know, wherever you like to hang out on social media, talking about the value of water and what might happen in a day when we don't have water. And being in the Southwest, in California, Arizona, we know of the very real likelihood of a natural disaster cutting off our supply of water, so we need to be prepared. And we need to also recognize the importance of our failing infrastructure throughout the country that's causing a lot of wasted water. And the more and more people that are habitating our planet here, we become into a situation where there's less and less likelihood that fresh, clean drinking water is going to be available. People that travel in third world countries know the very real, the reality of not having clean drinking water. Okay, and let's get rolling. You're listening to the Clear Water Radio, part of the Green Revolution show on Blog Talk Radio Network. Also streaming live for you guys listening to me through Blog Talk, streaming live on Facebook on my page, Mr. Wayne on Blog Talk Radio. You can find all the links to access me and find me on Instagram and Twitter and the Facebook pages through waynewater.com. That'll be a good way to link up and contact me. It's one place where I write my blog. I've got a lot of good information. And also, I've got the new mobile app that is happening through Google Play. You can find it on the Google Play Store and also the App Store on Apple. And that's a place where you can find out where rebates and information throughout the country, where we can get information for rebates through water conservation, replacing your toilet, and you can also find out what your rainfall is, and then you can figure out how much water you can actually collect at your home. Very cool stuff happening, updating that all the time. There's also a nice little link on there where you can listen to the sounds of water and download that onto your phone and have the soothing sounds of water. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Wayne.
David Pinsky is a Greenpeace Senior Ocean Campaigner. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, it's Greenpeace Day. Let's see. 45 years ago, Vancouver, Washington, a group of environmentalists set out to head up to the North Atlantic to stop the nuclear weapons testing in 1971. And since that day, Greenpeace has been on the front page of every newspaper, it seems like. But it was pretty relevant in the 70s when we were during the Cold War era, when we were looking at building bomb shelters. And also, David, I don't know if you were, how old you are, or were you around in the 70s, but we were actually talking about global cooling. And now it seems like global warming is on the forefront and the major issue of the day. Is that kind of how you see it, David?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty amazing to think about 45 years ago to this day, that small group of activists that were setting sail for Amchica Island. And, you know, the goal there, for folks that don't know the story, was to essentially stop a nuclear weapons test by the U.S. government on Amchica Island. And ultimately, Wayne, you know the story. You followed it closely. They were unable to stop the test, but that awareness in the U.S. and globally, that a small group of folks can indeed change the world, you know, led to the U.S. government canceling nuclear weapons testing at Amchica Island just a couple months later in February 1972. So I think from there, you know, we've grown from a small group of folks that decided to, you know, take that courageous journey to operating now in over 55 countries worldwide with nearly 3 million members. And yeah, the number of issues that we work on has indeed grown, and climate change is absolutely, you know, at the top of the list. We're seeing some really scary times right now, and the forecast from the scientific community is not giving me much hope at the moment, which is why, you know, it's more urgent than ever that we come together and act for some solutions.
And you say there's 3 million members of Greenpeace alone?
Yeah, globally. And, you know, one of the things, we're an independent environmental campaigning organization. And so those members are folks that are, you know, some are volunteers and many are donors.
Okay.
And so individual
okay.
donors that enable us to remain independent and do what the science tells us is necessary.
It seems like everybody knows Greenpeace around the world. It's become, in that short period of time, in 45 years, you've become quite the voice in environmentalism. And then there's the small little branches within our little regions that we are connected with Greenpeace. And, you know, if anybody's involved, I'm in the building industry and in development. And whenever there's a project that's developing new land that's never been developed, especially in the forest, we will know that Greenpeace and the small little environmental groups will be on us because of the concern for global recognition and protection, that one little project can affect the rest of the planet. But that's a good message to say that, you know, one person can affect the entire globe also.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it comes with that awareness that, you know, we each have a voice, and when we can come together. So as an individual, you absolutely have, you know, that ability to create change, and then coming together and you know, using that people power, which is something that we rely on as an organization, you know, can
absolutely
indeed make a significant change.
What would you say is one of the biggest, the largest prize out there that Greenpeace is focused on, as far as either stopping the proliferation of the rainforest to ending the use of petroleum or stop all the unsustainable fishing methods that we're going to be talking about? What's the biggest prize that you think is out there for Greenpeace?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think, so we do work on all those issues and, you know, with our forests and oceans and on climate change, energy, you know, and even some efforts on water. So I think, you know, it's all very interconnected, Wayne. And so, you know, one of arguably the greatest issues of our time is climate change and its impacts on people and ecosystems. And so, I would say that's the challenge we have of this generation and future generations. And so, you know, we're working to ensure a clean energy revolution, and you see those movements out there of keep it in the ground with oil and gas and coal, and really how can we use cutting edge technology and resources available like wind and solar to be able, you know, to shift and ensure that that this planet can be habitable for generations to come.
Yeah, unfortunately, it all comes down to money. Who can make the most by exploiting those resources, and how can we spend the least in living our day-to-day lives? And that's always a conflict. I mean, it goes together, but it doesn't go along with the environmental movement wants. It's the complete opposite of that, because unfortunately,
right.
I have to spend more money to be able to use less available resources, and I think that's just humans. I mean, that's the planet we live on.
Yeah, and you know, so there's some very strong forces there that are, you know, trying to stop the shift. But you know, we even see the U.S.
Right.
government, the Department of Defense, that's acknowledging the risks of climate change and taking you know, action
right.
to ensure. So you know, I think we are seeing a shift, and it's a scary moment to be alive and a very exciting one, because we are in a very critical moment in human history.
Good point. Yes, exciting and scary. But I think every generation can probably say that too, because there's always something new right around the corner, but there's always something that we're concerned about, either if it's world war, a storm coming in, which is maybe in a smaller time frame, but there's always something, and that's what makes it exciting. And when we can go out there and be a cause for something, make a difference, and that's what I want to encourage my listeners and my viewers on Facebook to understand, that we can make a difference, whether it's either positive or negative, but we definitely make a difference in our world. Just look at our small little neighborhoods that we live in. David, I brought you on the show because we're going to talk about the sustainable fishing industry. And I've done, through our conversations in the last couple of days, really got interested in the sustainable issue of tuna. And I actually picked up, I've got three cans here from the studio. I've got the good tuna. I didn't buy the cheap stuff because I wouldn't need it. But it's kind of interesting to see the variation and the promotion of sustainability within these small little companies and big companies that bring tuna to our table. And how did you get involved with this process of tuna and sustainability in the fish industry?
Great question. Well, and I'm excited to know which brands you have there, so we can talk more about that. You know, Greenpeace has been working right since our the founding 45 years ago. You know, that nuclear weapons test was absolutely impacting the ecosystem there at Amchik Island, and then the waters right offshore right there. So, you know, that it's very much been in our DNA. Our world's oceans cover over 70% of the planet. Half of the oxygen that we breathe is from our oceans. So they're very vital to life. And, you know, those connections, as we're talking about climate change as well. So it's very important that we maintain the health of our ecosystems. And, you know, it's been good to see that President Obama, in his last couple of months in office, is creating marine reserves off the Atlantic coast and then out in the Pacific. So for Greenpeace, we're looking at protecting areas of our world's oceans so that can be an investment for the future, essentially creating national parks in our oceans that are off limits to fishing and industrial activity. The other thing that we're faced with, as you mentioned earlier, Wayne, you know, this greed that exists, is that demand for cheap seafood and what that's doing globally to take away a primary source of protein for billions of folks worldwide, you know, folks living in coastal communities, and that demand for cheap seafood is actually impacting tuna stocks and other stocks of fish worldwide. So we're seeing overfishing, destructive fishing practices, and even links to human rights abuses as a result of this demand for cheap seafood. So we're looking at that intersection
tuna,
trying to change the industry.
Is tuna really driving then the overall fishing industry, because that's what the biggest moneymaker and the profit is? Because tuna is available throughout all the world's oceans, and it's easy to catch. Right.
And tuna, and one of the things, so I think we've chosen a very, so the tuna industry essentially is out of control. It's a highly migratory species, so it makes it very difficult to manage and, you know, enforcement on in our world's oceans. now as an effect of or consequence of overfishing, we're seeing vessels go further out to sea into the high seas. It's very difficult for governments to patrol those fishing efforts to ensure that things are done legally.
And,
yeah. So there, you know, a big intersection there. And tuna, you know, the U.S. is the biggest tuna market in the world, so it's absolutely an important, you know, for the seafood industry, an important economic driver for them. You know, shrimp and salmon are among the top three most consumed species in the U.S. But absolutely, as you mentioned, Wayne, it's a global market, and so what we see at Greenpeace is if we can transform this industry to ensure that it's more responsibly managed, not only for our ocean's sake, but for seafood workers that may be in harm's way, that can be a model for other commodities in the seafood industry and ultimately ensure that there's better stewardship of our oceans globally.
Okay, so the fishing industry, then you said that like, tuna is migratory. I can see where something like fishing for crab or, you know, that's one place where people, you know, can go and fish. But you're talking tuna, you're talking teams of ships going out all over the place. And is there actually a police force out in the water, or is that where Greenpeace comes in?
So that's absolutely one place in which Greenpeace comes in. We were in the Indian Ocean I think it was earlier this year, and so we were chasing the Explorer 2, which is this massive fishing vessel, fishing tuna, and using some very questionable activities. And so we're documenting those cases, and we will actually work with law enforcement worldwide to, if we find illegal activity on the waters, to report that to, you know, appropriate authorities. There are nations, absolutely, that can, you know, go out and patrol the waters. But as I mentioned, Wayne, when you get into the high seas and some vessels fishing for tuna are out there for months or years at a time, and sometimes they can have trafficked workers on them, so migrant workers that are held against their will to work for, you know, 18-plus hour days, very poor working conditions, can be beaten, you know.
So it's, like it's like slave labor you're talking about.
So, yeah, there's absolutely,
like. And, and that's just,
you know,
that sounds like, it's like, no way, that doesn't happen. Wow, that's crazy. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about sustainability, because we're not talking strictly about, you know, protecting the planet's resources. We're also talking about the social benefits of people getting equal pay for fair work, and also being economically viable. So the price point has to be there. And in order for these companies to make a profit, they cut down their labor expenses and they increase the price of their tuna. So we look at this cheap tuna that's out there, and I found tuna that was under $1 a can up to over $5 a can. And you can actually see the difference in the labeling. You go, oh, well, we got this cheap tuna because they don't have very much on their label. But you look on this expensive tuna, and they have a lot of stuff. But it's a lot of information. And how many of us really care about the sustainability of the tuna market? Because we don't know. We don't know how it's being treated, and we just can't believe that there's people being treated like that on these ships. But you're saying this happens daily. I mean, it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, and it's very unfortunate that these cheap prices come at such a high cost for our oceans and then for workers. And you know, so some of the brands that folks are probably most familiar with here in the U.S., Chicken of the Sea, Bumblebee, and Starkist, actually all three,
right,
Wayne, have been, they're currently under federal investigation for things such as alleged price fixing, underfilling cans, and even colluding to block sustainable tuna from coming to market. So it really raises question, you know, about how much is this industry trying to maintain the status quo, whereas some of the ones, You know, so if folks are online, you can just Google Greenpeace canned tuna guide. And we rated, as you've probably seen this, Wayne, we rated 14 brands, from national brands to private label brands, from retailers such as Kroger and Walmart, and ranked them on their sustainability. And the ones that came in top place were Wild Planet, American Tuna, and Ocean Naturals.
Yes, I've got the list right in front of me, and that's what I used to go on my little exploratory mission yesterday. And I was to get, let's see, 10 of them. I priced 10 of them, and because I'm concerned about the actual product, and there's a lot of fillers, add soy, chicken noodle, or like some kind of a soup blend or something. There's added salt put in it. But I noticed in those brands that were the bottom one, two, three, the bottom six, that were the cheapest, from the Target brand, Walmart, Chicken of the Sea, like you mentioned, Bumblebee, the Kroger, and the Star Kit. You can tell that those were like rock bottom prices, but all these extra ingredients in the tuna goes, ooh, yuck. And I think customers also are getting more interested in what's in the product. They look at the ingredients. And now we're finding on these labels, and I'll tell you which ones I picked up, American Tuna, Skipjack from Trader Joe's, and the Chunk Light from Whole Foods. And the top brand did not have all those fillers that I do not want to get. So it was pretty cool to see this. This label is just covered with information, especially with the certified sustainable seafood. Yeah, the MSC.org. So I'm finding that with this educational awareness on these labels, then you start to question. You go, well, wait a minute. What is the difference between a sustainable brand and a non-sustainable brand? And that's where we can start doing more of our research.
Like absolutely.
You said, online,
having that information, on the label is critical for, not only price conscious shoppers, but ones that are looking for a responsible product. And so that, you can see some of the more sustainable methods. Pole in line caught tuna is actually where you have one fisher and one pole catching one tuna at a time. So that will eliminate bycatch. And so, that's the most sustainable you can get. I think the interesting thing to note here, Wayne, as you mentioned, Kroger and, Chicken of the Sea and Walmart's Great Value brand tuna, all of those are actually supplied by Thai Union Group, which is when we're, as a global organization, we're trying to change the tuna industry. And Thai Union, when you look at all the companies that are doing business in canned tuna, that's the largest canned tuna company in the world. And that's also the owner of Chicken of the Sea here in the U.S. So supplies Chicken of the Sea, Kroger, Walmart's private label brands. And that company's been connected to destructive fishing and linked to human rights abuses in some of its supply chains. So really what we want to see happen is, as consumers go, whether to the supermarket or, say if you're dining in your corporate on your corporate campus or in a college cafeteria, if tuna is being served there, to ask for a little bit more information about how is it caught, where is it from, how is the person, the person serving you that food, to ask them, how is that business ensuring that its tuna is sustainable and socially responsible? And you can expand that too to ask about any of the seafood that you're buying outside of the home, whether it's at a supermarket or in a restaurant or a corporate campus.
Yes.
So those are really
That's
important
true,
and questions.
I have to say, I just have to say that takes practice. It takes takes a little bit of gravitas. But once you start asking, even the server, the servers are pretty well educated, especially the ones that are in the and I'm not talking about fast food places where you don't know what you're getting anyway, and I don't think you really want to know. But you're talking about a sit-down restaurant where you're eating good food and you're having served a nice meal, and the servers are pretty knowledgeable about what kind of food they're bringing. And if they don't know, they're certainly going to find out for you either from the chef or even end up talking with the owner, which is something that makes it interesting and makes it a better experience when we're out dining, too. Then we get to know the restaurant. And that's what makes it fun to go out in a dining experience. So just, you don't have to be so confrontational, but you just say, hey, where does the tuna come from? Or, it's just like asking, where does the lettuce come from? We see this big movement now where restaurants are growing their own food, and they're getting local sourced vegetables and different things for the menu. So why not with your fish or your beef or, anything else that you're out there eating and concerned about?
And having that traceability is, I think that's incumbent that these companies are able to provide that information to their clients. So when you go to that restaurant, say, Red Lobster or Olive Garden, and you're eating shrimp or having a tuna there, that information should be available to you as a customer.
Absolutely.
So we've been talking about the canned tuna guide. And then also, we recently released Sea of Distress, which is a report that's looking at food service companies. So when you're going outside of the home, not to supermarkets, but again, say going to a restaurant, who are the companies behind the scenes that are providing that food? And, we only found, Wayne, that 3 out of the 15 companies actually received passing scores. And so one of the companies that failed, and it was very startling to see this, is Sysco. And that's the largest food distributor in the world.
Yep, big food distributor.
Food distributor. And, again, that name Thai Union comes up, supplying tuna to Sysco. So, if, say, you go to a Red Lobster or Olive Garden and start asking those questions, you bet that will go up the chain of command and then ultimately get to Sysco at their headquarters in Houston and start to create some change.
Right on. And they're gonna respond to you because you're the consumer. David, we're out of time. Let me give you an opportunity to tell people where you can be contacted from. Of course, there's greenpeace.org. Is that the main website that you want people to go to for what you're doing in the USA?
That's the main website. That's right. And, Sea of Distress is our new food service report, so you can Google that. You could also Google Tuna Shopping Guide and Greenpeace. And then, Wayne, for folks, looking to connect with me directly, I'd say on Twitter is great. And it's my name, David_Pinsky, P-I-N-S-K-Y.
Very good, David. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a good program, very educational. We're going to keep spreading the word on the sustainability issue. And happy Greenpeace Day.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Really appreciate you having me on.
Right on. Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Eco Raindrop. Download our new mobile app by the same name, Eco Raindrop. You can find the link on WayneWater.com for the Google Play Store and the App Store. See you again on Facebook. Go Live this weekend is Coastal Cleanup Day. And being in San Francisco, David, you might be out there working on the coast, cleaning up the beaches, but out in the desert, I don't have a coast, so I'm going to go to a geocache event called FITO. It's an event where we cache in and trash out. So everybody be responsible, get out there, and let's all save the planet together. We have the power, go out and change the world. David, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Wayne. You too.
Bye-bye. We're